And we're going to share something tonight. We've been sharing on this theme called It's Settled. And when something's settled, that means you have, in this case, you know, you've settled it in your heart and mind on something. But when something eternal or of eternal value has been settled, that means there had to be someone with the power to settle it. And so we know in that God in Christ reconciled the world, and that settled, and that he raised Christ from the dead to prove that we were made right with him. So let me just read this. You know, we're talking about something that's settled, and you have to do that by faith. You have to accept something and receive something by faith. And this was a little entry by Brother Hagin when he was alive, and he was referencing Mark 11:23, and he was talking about whosoever shall say something to the mountain and believe and doubt not, you'll have what you say. And that principle will work in your life. And he puts this entry in, he said, several years ago, I was hemorrhaging from my body. I had serious pain symptoms. It was almost intolerable. The devil was giving me mental visions of cancer. I didn't have any kind of inspiration. And all the feelings I had were negative. Now, I learned the multiplication table many years ago. It still works. 3 times 3 is still 9. I don't ever have to stop and think, will that work? Do you suppose 3 times 3 is still 9? Do you suppose the multiplication table will work today? I can't get it to work for me. I see it working for others, but it won't work for me. No, if multiplication doesn't work for you, it's because you don't know the principle well enough. I said to myself as I was lying in bed, I learned what faith is. I learned Mark 11:23, which says, whosoever shall say and doubt not in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So I just started saying, according to the word of God, I'm healed. In the face of pain, in the face of the most alarming symptoms, I said this. Every symptom began to abate almost immediately. And within 2 or 3 days, every symptom was gone. What is he trying to point out? He's trying to point out that he learned the principles of faith. And faith will work whether you feel like it or not. You don't have to be inspired to use the multiplication table. It will work regardless. And faith will work regardless of how you feel. And sometimes people feel like, well, I need to be inspired. I need some kind of inspiration from God to inspire me to speak the word of God. That's where we miss it. We need to speak the word of God because it will work regardless of how we feel. I believe that God's word will work for me. And so this is what he taught for 60 plus years. He began to use and believe the principles of God's word, and he began to do that, and obviously he taught others. But there was another entry that he made the day before that I thought was significant. This is in the area of faith. He's still referencing Mark 11:23. And same principle of faith. He said, once I invited a pastor to go with me to a preaching engagement in California. This pastor was 56 years old. At the age of 39, he discovered that he had diabetes. So for 17 years, he had given himself a shot of insulin every day. This pastor was a good man and had a wonderful church, but somehow he failed to grasp healing. Now, I didn't talk to him personally. I think that sometimes people are sitting around waiting for God to initiate something. And sometimes God does initiate something on his own, but people don't have to just sit around and wait on him. I wanted to teach this pastor about the authority he has in Christ. I know the authority I have. And as long as a person is with me, I can exercise that authority. But when someone is on his own, he has to exercise his own authority. That's the reason things will happen many times in healing meetings, because people's faith is at a high and everyone is believing God. As a result, people get healed. But if people don't develop their own faith, they lose their healing. As we began our trip to California, I said to this pastor, as long as you're with me, you'll not register any abnormal levels of sugar. I said that in faith. I didn't say it because I was led of the Lord to say it. I didn't say it because I was inspired to say it. He said it because he knew the principles of faith, that if he said something in faith and doubted not, he would have what he said. Many times people think that the word will work if it is quickened to them. Well, sometimes God's word is quickened to us, and it does work. That's true. But we make a mistake in thinking that's the only way it works, and that it always has to be that way. I said to my pastor friend, because it is a faith principle, and faith principles work in the spirit realm just like natural principles work in the natural world. I don't have to get inspired to use the natural principle of the multiplication table. 3 times 3 is 9. I know that. Similarly, I can use the principle of faith at any time to receive the blessings of God. So what are we saying? We're sitting around a lot of times waiting for the blessings of God to fall, or for God to bless us, or for some man or woman of God in a meeting to call people out and say, bless thee, because God said so, when in fact God has already blessed us in Christ. And we need to do what? Take the authority that we've been given and begin to speak to the natural circumstances in life in faith, believing and doubting not, and we will have what we say if we doubt not. So I just share that because a lot of times, well, I think sometimes we need to hear it, number one, and sometimes we just need to step up and start as you hear what he shared, Brother Hagin. He wasn't inspired to say something. He wasn't led of the Lord to say something. He just said it because he knows the principles of faith. And he said what? Mark 11:23. If you say something and believe and doubt not, and believe the things that you say will come to pass, you'll have it. And a lot of times we're living below our privileges in life because we're not speaking things. And this really is nothing more, the principle is nothing more than what motivational speakers do. What do? They get you in a big meeting, you pay a lot of money, and they're giving you spiritual principles. What are they doing? They're telling you to say something and believe you're going to be a success. Well, that's what God is saying. He's saying, if you believe something and doubt not, you'll have what you say. So people are paying a lot of money to go hear a motivational speaker to get motivated when you could be doing that 24/7. You can do that without paying something. It's already settled. It's been paid for in Christ. We've been given access to the blessings of God. We've been seated with him in heavenly places, and all of the judgments that were held against mankind have been paid for. And that's really all we're sharing with these messages on it's settled. There's some things that are just settled. You don't have to be inspired to do anything. It's already settled in the Word of God. And that's really what this said here. The word settle implies a decision reached by someone with the power to end all dispute and uncertainty. That was God. When Christ paid for our sins, he was raised from the dead. That's what the Passion Translation says of Romans 4:25. In the Passion Translation, it said, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. We've been made right with God because he paid for our sins. He took the penalty of it, and now we have access to God through Christ. And the same thing. You know in Ephesians 1, verse 20, in the King James, he talks about, and verse 19, was exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, which according to the working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So this mighty power that now is in us is the same power that he wrought in Christ and raised us from the dead. But, you know, looking at Psalm 119 and verse 89, talking about things that are settled, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It stands firm. So God is already, when we talk about something being settled, we have a covenant with God, and God has always been opposed to sickness and disease. He's not in favor of it. Even in the Old Testament, he always made provision for his covenant people to be healed. If sickness was his will, he wouldn't have made provision for healing. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent, this is in the King James, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So he made provision in the old covenant for them to be delivered. How did he do that? He sent his word and healed them. Psalm 105 and verse 37 in the King James. These are just some scriptures talking about him, God sending his word and healing his people. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4 in the King James. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. So God has provided on the Old Testament a way for his people to be healed. And of course, we know through Christ that provision was made in Christ. And Ephesians 1:7, these are just some scriptures that we've been looking at, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have something now. In him or in whom, we have what? We have something. That means if I have something, we have redemption. That means if I have something, I was using that example Sunday. I handed out, I extended my hand. I said, here's a $100 bill. What do you normally do? You take it. Well, that, what does that mean? If you took something, you now have it. That means you possess it. That means you have the right to use or do with whatever you want to do with what you have. So we have what? Redemption through his blood. So that's something that we've been delivered from. We've been delivered from darkness, and we've been what? Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. This is of Colossians 1:13. He delivered us. He set us free from what? Darkness, or the power of darkness. And this is the Wade translation, W-A-D-E, of Colossians 1:13. It says, for God has rescued us from the dominance exercised by the powers of spiritual darkness and transferred us to the dominion of his son, the object of his love. So we've been what? Rescued. We've been freed from Satan's dominion. We've now what? We have eternal life in us. We've been what? Set free. We're redeemed. Sickness and disease was paid for in Christ's crucifixion and death and resurrection for us. The sin and sickness problem has been settled. It's settled. Christ on the cross became sin and shed his blood, and with his stripes we are healed. That's settled. You know, when John 3:16 says, for it is God who what? He offered up his, he gave his only begotten son to, for who? The world. For it says, for God what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So when we look at this, this is something settled in Christ. For who? Not just for me, but for the world. So when we talk about something being settled, this spiritual thing that we're talking about, redemption, it's settled for the world. And you know, and the world doesn't know that. That's why in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, Satan, who's the god of this world, blinds the minds of those who are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. So it's our responsibility to go share with people that God in Christ has redeemed mankind, and those that what? We are to do what? Believe and receive what he's done. And so not only has the sin issue been resolved or settled, so has the sickness problem been settled. And so many say, well, you know, what about people, all the sickness and disease and death? Well, it's been paid for. And so this is why what we're talking about is that sick sin and sickness has been paid for. How does one receive the benefit of that? By faith. We have to do what? Receive that and walk in it. Does it mean that we're going to walk free of you know, the thing? This body is corrupted or corruptible with sin. So that means that what? It can be affected by sin and sickness. And of those things that happen in the earth and happen in the world, we can be tempted, we can be affected by things that are going on in this world. But what does it mean? It means that we have now what? Eternal life, that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in me. And Romans 8:11, which is a very familiar scripture verse in the New Living Translation, and it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to what? Your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. So the Spirit of God that raised Christ's dead body from the grave can quicken, as the King James says, it quickens or gives life to my mortal body. So what does that mean? That means that it doesn't mean that I'm going to live forever, but it does mean, just like in the Old Testament, you cannot find when they obeyed, when his people obeyed God's commandments, you'll find that there was not sickness and disease in their camps. And they didn't die of sickness and disease. What did they do? They blessed their siblings and their offspring, and they just got in bed and left their bodies. Their spirit left their body. So to me, if we have a better covenant established upon Christ, then we have that benefit and that blessing where the scripture tells us in Galatians 3:13. In the King James, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? When sickness and disease affects my body, I can speak to it in the name of Jesus, and I can begin to do just what Brother Hagin talked about. I didn't feel impressed. I'm doing what? I'm operating the faith principles to speak to a circumstance, which is what Mark 11:23 is saying. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what is a mountain? A mountain can be a financial mountain. A mountain can be a disease or a sickness. Something that looks like it can't move. There's no way it can change. But he put it in the scriptures, Jesus said, have faith in God. I mean, it's very clear that the principle will work in whatever life, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in life. So when we talk about something being settled, faith is settled. The principle of faith is settled. And if we work that principle in our lives, then we will get the results that it says we'll get. So 1 Peter 2:24, these are things that are settled. His stripes, says by his stripes we were healed. This is 1 Peter 2:24 in the King James. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So if I was healed, then I am healed. When am I healed? Right now. And how do I benefit from that? By speaking to something that exists and calling those things that be not as though they were. What is faith? Faith in Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of something hoped for, it's what? The evidence. What's the evidence? My faith-filled words of the are the evidence of something not seen. And these principles are things that we operate in every day. I know I do, because there's things that you desire, there's things that you expect that you don't have yet. You don't see it. And your faith is the evidence of something that you don't have yet. You know, years ago, I remember when Charles Capps was alive, and, you know, I would see him sharing these principles. He began to get a hold of these principles of faith, and he would begin to just use very simple examples, and then he would share his own personal experiences. You know, he shared the example how he began to take these principles and begin to speak the word of God over his own body. He said, I used to like to hunt, and he said, I go in the woods, and invariably I would get poison ivy. So he said, I would just continue to speak the word of God concerning my own body, but he said, I still went to the drugstore, got calamine lotion, and put it all over my skin to do what? Help my skin heal from what? Poison ivy. But he said, it took some time. When you plant a seed in the ground, it takes time for that seed to come up through the ground and to do what? First the blade, then the ear. So in other words, it's a shoot, and then it begins to shoot up, and we begin to get what? A harvest from that seed. And he said, it took time. It took almost a year, he said, of me keeping the word of God active in my heart, feeding upon it. And he said, it reached a point. He said, every time I would go in the woods over that year period, I'd get poison ivy. But he said, it didn't deter me because I believed what I said. And I was speaking that my body is redeemed from the curse of the law. It's redeemed from poison ivy. And he began to speak that, and he said after about a year, he could go into the woods and hunt, and he said he would grab poison ivy, strip it down, and it wouldn't even affect him like it used to. So what are we saying? We're operating in these principles. I know when Brother Hagin was alive, he talked about people coming to his meetings, learning these very simple principles of faith in Mark 11:23. And he said there was a young man in his early 20s that he began to come to his meetings, and he began to learn these principles of faith, of believing something that he spoke, doubting not, and having what he said. And he said, over a period of time, this young man became a multi-millionaire. And he began to operate these principles of faith. And God began to lead him at that time, this was many, many years ago, to buy real estate. And he began to buy real estate or property because out in that area, it was just open land. And that's how God led him. And he began to buy land, and then when they began to expand and build malls and build major roadways, guess whose land they wanted to buy on? His. And he began to make a lot of money in real estate, and he had multiple planes to get around in. So this was a young man in his 20s, but he began to do what? Take these principles and begin to apply them in his life, and not be subject to the conditions that are going on in this world. That's why I say we're not subject to it. Doesn't mean that I may not have to make some adjustments in the meantime. Maybe you're still working this principle, but don't give up. It's what? It's something that's settled. It's like, almost don't like using it, but it's like gravity. Gravity is something that's settled. The principles of faith are settled. And so when we begin to apply those principles, we will do what? We will reap the benefits that have already been paid for. And you know, just in my own life, I've just taken these principles and work them, and you keep working them. Sometimes it may take years to see something. But I know that early on in my life, just begin to operate this principle and these principles where you are for simple things. I remember, you know, Pastor Sarah and Clinton, when they were teaching these principles, they began to teach us, begin to create your own, you know, list of things you're believing God for. Create a faith list and keep it visible. And I remember Pastor Sarah saying, just believe for a parking space. Constantly use your faith to believe God for things that you desire and you want in your life. If you got a job and you want a better job, you say, I'm going to have a better job. I'm going to do this. If you want to own your own company, you say, I'm going to own a company. I mean, just begin to do some things. I'm hesitant to keep sharing sometimes all these stories of Brother Hagin, but he made a statement that said, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set it to nothing and get it all. So sometimes we need to set our desires high, and even if you reach three quarters, well, that's more than doing nothing. So God's word is forever settled in heaven, and Satan cannot hinder the seed from doing its work. This is the incorruptible seed that we have that's been planted in us, unless we let that seed get out of the ground. And so he can only do this by what? Getting your attention away from the word of God and applying it. So healing is God's provision. And Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, he talks about, see again, this is where he's speaking to his to the Israelites. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put, now the literal Hebrew means will permit, I will not permit, or I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon or permitted upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we know from Malachi, he says, I change not. So God changes not. It's his will that we walk in these provisions, these blessings. He has said in John 10:10, it's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have what? Life, and they have it more abundantly. I like the New Living Translation is a little clearer. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So God's purpose was that we would be what? Free from all of those things that the devil comes to do, which is to steal and to destroy. And he's come that we have a good, rich, satisfying life. Now I just want to look at a few more scriptures here from the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53 in verse 4 and 5. And this, again, is provision for healing. This is looking forward to the cross. And of course, 1 Peter 2:24 is looking back at the cross, but this is looking forward to the cross. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And who was smitten of God? Christ was, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So God keeps putting this out here in his word that it's a settled thing. It's settled that we're healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So let me just read something. This is a book that I reference quite a bit. It's called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. This was something written back in the early 1900s. But it's just an excerpt here from him. It says, therefore, it is clear that disease, which is incipient death, entered into the world by sin. Now, since disease entered by sin, its true remedy must be found in the redemption of Christ. As soon as disease has advanced beyond the power of nature to recover us, it will result in death in every case unless removed by the power of God. Since disease is part of the curse, its true remedy must be the cross. We've been redeemed from the curse. How were we redeemed? By the cross, or through the cross. So as soon as, and then it says here, it will result, again, I'm just read this again, it will result in death in every case unless removed by the power of God. Since disease is part of the curse, its true remedy must be the cross, for who can remove the curse but God? And how can God justly do it except by substitution? Disease is the physical penalty of iniquity. So when it says sin entered, death entered through sin, then death is the result of iniquity or sin. But Christ has borne in his body all our physical liabilities on account of sin, and that therefore our bodies are released judicially from disease. Through Christ's redemption, we may all have, as part of the earnest of our inheritance, the life also of Jesus made manifest in our mortal flesh. To do what? To supplement nature until our work is finished. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we're not going to walk free of something. We may get affected or you know, there may come a time where some symptom comes on your body and we are what? Supplemented with the life of Christ. We have the life of Christ in us to do what? Quicken us and free us and drive out of our bodies sickness and disease. So this resurrection life that we have in us quickens our mortal bodies. It quickens our mind and our soul so that we can go through life, and this eternal life is what makes us what? A new creature in Christ, a new creation. So sometimes we're not taking advantage of this eternal life. We just say, oh yes, I'm saved, I'm blessed, but we need to be doing what? Enforcing that and decreeing that this life that I have in me is affecting every part of me, my mind, my thoughts, my soul, my body, every part of me. You know, I've shared this. I refuse to say I'm tired. I refuse to say I'm sick. I don't make those kind of statements. I may need some rest, but I don't go and say I'm tired. Because when you say that, and the more that you say that, your body will respond to that. your body will be tired. So what do you need to do? You need to just say, hey, I need some rest. I need to lay down, get a few hours sleep, but don't decree, I am this. I am tired. I am sick. No, I'm not sick. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has healed me, and I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. So we just keep sharing these comments. This is something that I thought was a good comment by Mark Hankins, a minister of the gospel. He made this statement. He said, as they traveled and saw many religions in different countries, they compared them. He's talking about he compared them. And they saw that many had good elements to them. And he asked the Lord about this. And the Lord said this to him, all religions offer lessons, but only Christ gives life. So a lot of religions offer lessons. Some of them are good, some of them not. But he said, it's only Christ that gives life. So all religions try to teach and try to help, but only Christ gives life. Jesus came to give us more than a lesson. He came to give us life, eternal life. And it's this eternal life that makes us a new creation in Christ. And it's this eternal life that quickens our mortal body. He came and gave us this overcoming life, this redeeming life, this resurrection life, and that's settled. So it'll resist, this resurrection life will resist sickness and disease in your body. If you do what? Believe and speak it. And this is the principle that I started with, the principle of faith, of speaking to this mountain, speaking words of faith that sickness and disease can't stay on my body. Sickness and disease is a curse, and I'm redeemed from it. How? Through the blood of Jesus. And that blood has redeemed me from not only sin, but sickness. And so let me just close with that. Keep feeding upon that. Keep feeding upon that truth that settled, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law through his shed blood. Praise God. So I trust that you'll take some of these principles. You know, I've shared this a few times that, you know, you need to get to a place in your life and be honest and say, you know, I read all of this and I see it, but I don't see it working in my life. You know, I reached that many, many years ago. I made a decision. I still do today. But I made a decision many years ago to just, in faith, give a certain amount. You know, there's no, in the Old Testament, it talks about, under the Mosaic law, it talks about the tithe and giving 10%. But we're not under the old covenant. We're under a new covenant. So that means I'm not required to give a certain amount. I can give whatever I want. I can give more than 10%. And so many years ago, I chose to give 30%. And sometimes I give more. And so God blesses, what does it say? He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So I've made those decisions. Well, I'm sharing a point here. That back at that time, you know, I was working for the ministry and I, you know, was pondering. I never voiced it. I never said to anyone. I just thought it and said, you know, I'm not seeing the fruit of my giving. I'm not seeing this pressed down, running over, men giving into my bosom. I was not seeing it. Well, See, that's the first problem. You're trying to see something instead of just believing that it's working. And so that was my immaturity in faith. And so at one point, I had some symptoms in my body, a very high temperature, and I stayed home for the day. And I just decided, I don't know why, I just made up my mind, I'm going to laugh at these symptoms. I just started to laugh in faith. And I wasn't confessing any scripture, I just started to laugh. And so it stirred up laughter in me, and I began to laugh, and I got over into a spiritual laugh, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me. And he said, if you would work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. And I began to see where I missed it, that I was speaking the word because I believed the word in the area of healing, and I was getting results, and it was working in my body. But I was giving that 30%. I brought it into the storehouse joyfully, but I was not speaking in faith that I am going to receive what I believe that I sowed. I didn't speak that in faith. And so the Holy Ghost was trying to help me. And so what did I do? I made that correction. I started to speak what I believed in the area of finances. What does that mean? I'm applying the same principle that I was using in the area of healing over in the area of finances. And things began to change. And he began to show me where to sow, how to sow, and to apply these principles. And I began to come up in my receiving, in my blessing. I mean, even here, I mean, the ministry, you know, they're giving you what they can afford. And they came in and said, this is 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks after that revelation. They called me in, gave me another raise. So I'm just saying that when we apply these principles, they will begin to work in your life and just start. That's really what we're sharing. And it's a settled covenant blessing and truth. And if we'll apply it, it'll work. Praise God. Well, before we receive the offering, we just want to provide an opportunity that we never know who's watching or who will watch. And we just provide an opportunity for those that may not know Jesus as their Savior. And I keep saying this, say it in Spanish, say it in English, Jesus is coming soon. Dios viene pronto. He's coming soon, quickly he's coming. And we need to make sure that we're right with God, that we have eternal life, and that our names are secure, so that when he returns and takes the church out of the earth, that we're going to be caught up with him. And so you wouldn't want your worst enemy going to hell. So we always extend that opportunity to people to receive him. Maybe you believed in Jesus, but you never believed or asked him to come into your heart. You never believed and said it with your mouth. This is what we're saying, believing and speaking with your mouth, what you believe. So if you believe that, let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus came to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I believe that he took my sins and he took them to hell. And according to your word, I was crucified with Christ. I was buried with Christ and I was raised with Christ. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I believe that you are my Lord and I believe you were raised from the dead. And your word says, if I do that, that I will be saved. So we ask you, Lord, to cleanse me with your blood, and I will serve you the rest of my days on this earth. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you never ever remember saying that in the simplicity of your heart and with your mouth, then that means you got saved. You're born again. And doesn't mean sometimes people feel something, sometimes they don't. But just send us a note. Let us know that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, and we'll send you some information about what happened to you and what happened. So again, if you're watching, we rejoice with you that you've accepted Jesus.